Tango Tango Papa 2110, March 24th, 2022.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from Interstate 29 in north. Right now I'm in northwestern, that'll be right, northwestern Missouri. So I'm still about about roughly 80 miles north of Kansas City area. So I'm recording this a little bit different way, at least this first part of it. I don't know, it depends on how long I talk, but so I'm recording this with the phone, but I'm using a wired headset with the inline microphone. So now you may hear a buzzing sound ever so often, and a lot of the time I can't control that. That's this truck that I have, that I've had a little over a year now, has a so-called lane assist feature, and sometimes it recognizes pavement seams as lane markers. And, so if there's a pavement seam or something, then it, it'll cause it to buzz. So, that's just something I can't really control. I can't remember. It's been probably 2 or 3 weeks since the last podcast. So I was, I think in the last podcast I talked about getting the new phone. So I got the S22 Ultra, which is basically the Note, the Galaxy Note replacement. It's basically, it's a Galaxy Note, but they sort of renamed it. But in any case, I was able to do the transfer and then move the SIM card over, restart the phone, and everything seemed to be working okay, with the exception I was having some Bluetooth issues. See, there we go, I can't control that. Was having some Bluetooth issues, and the Bluetooth would connect some things just fine, but then there were other things it wouldn't connect to. And so after fiddling with it for a while, I decided I would go ahead and reset the network settings. And so that's what I did. Ultimately, I did the reset network settings. It's a little thing in the, buried somewhere in the settings for the phone, and so for the operating system. So I did that, and that seemed to cure the Bluetooth problems that I was having, but, because it's probably something that transferred from the old phone to the new one, and I'm sure they've made some changes somewhere or other. But not too long after I did that, I realized I didn't have any phone service. I still was connecting to Wi-Fi and was able to use the data and everything, so I didn't realize right away until, then I finally realized that the phone wasn't working, and the phone portion, there was no service. And so I fiddled around with it for a while, and what ended up happening, I was on my way to Las Vegas area, Henderson, Nevada. So I was able to stop at mall, shopping mall in Gallup, New Mexico, and go into a T-Mobile store. And I was in there probably a good couple of hours. At first they thought, well, we'll just have to give you a new SIM, the SIM card. And so she tried that, and there's still no service. And she tried it a second time, and there's still no service. And then she sent me up the mall a little ways. There was this phone repair store, and she said, go talk to this guy, and what was his name? Ronaldo or something or other. Rodolfo, I think it was Rodolfo. But anyway, she told me to go talk to him, see if he had any ideas. So I did, and he didn't know what to do, but he did pull the SIM out of his phone and put it into my phone, and it worked perfectly. He had an AT&T SIM, and it worked great. And so, swapped the SIMs back out, and I went back to the T-Mobile store, and I told her what happened, and she said, well, I just don't know. After she fiddled with it for a while, I just don't know what to tell you. You'll just have to maybe get back with Samsung or whatever. And I said, well, I know that it works with AT&T, so I'll just switch to AT&T. You know, there was a Verizon. I did notice there was a Verizon store also in the mall, and I was just going to go right to the Verizon store. She said, well, wait a minute. There's one last thing I can try. So what ended up being the problem was, since I was a Sprint customer, I'm originally a Sprint customer, and so, you know, they're in the process, you know, so T-Mobile basically merged or bought Sprint or merged with Sprint, and so they've got two different databases. And so the people that are in the Sprint database, even though these are kind of merged together, more or less, the people that are in the Sprint database, if you get a new phone, the IMEI number has to be entered into the account. Even though it should be picking it up from the SIM, it has to be entered into the account on their end. And so after they did that, then she, you know, put in a third SIM, and that solved the problem. So, you know, but I had, after I'd gotten the phone, I did make a trip to one of my local Sprint, T-Mobile stores now, used to be a Sprint store, and the gal said, oh no, you should be able to just, shouldn't have any problem at all, just move the SIM over and everything should be fine. Well, it was until I reset the network settings. But, you know, I really had to because of the Bluetooth. There's some kind of Bluetooth thing that was going on. And after I reset the network settings, that solved my Bluetooth. That seemed to solve my Bluetooth issues. So, live and learn. So then, I did for about 5 days, and I ended up getting stuck with doing the Walmart thing in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I've done that a couple of other times, and I really dislike it. And it seems like they always do it when it's winter, or when you're getting winter weather, and of course this time of year, the Cheyenne, Wyoming area, you know, because there's a Walmart distribution center there, food distribution. And of course, a lot of the loads go to Denver, and they go to different parts of Colorado, and even up into Montana and different parts of Wyoming. And, you know, but in any case, it was slow. I didn't really get stuck in any winter weather. One of the days that I sat, I ended up sitting one full day waiting for a load that never came at the Walmart distribution center there. it did snow and then it finally melted, and you know, so really didn't get in you know, in any snow or anything like that. But normally once they stick you on that, they want you to stay with it for 7 days at least. But I ended up getting them to let me out of it after 5 days. And I think the next time they try to get me to do that, I'm just going to refuse to do it. You know, because I don't want to do it. I don't, you know, if I want to do that, then I'll go directly to work for Walmart. You know, if I wanted to deliver to Walmart stores, and it certainly wouldn't be in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So, but in any case, I got off of that, and you know, so this afternoon I was at, and I, this morning I unloaded at Ravenna, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, Nebraska. R-E-V-E-N-N-A, Ravenna, Nebraska. And so I finally got out of there, and it was this afternoon. So then I stopped at this, there's a Boselman's truck stop at Grand Island, and they've got this, it's a restaurant in there, and the food's decent. And so it's kind of a sports bar type place. It's called Thunder Road. It's kind of a themed sports bar type place. But in any case, it's right in the truck stop. So in any case, I ate and then I paid with I've got it like the Sam's MasterCard. So I paid with my Sam's MasterCard. And so then the gal, you know, brought my card back after she, you know, and brought the card back, and then, so I signed signed the thing there. And as I was putting the card back into my wallet, I noticed that it had somebody else's name on it. I said, I don't remember the guy's name, but it said underneath, it said Gray Bar Trucking. And of course, that guy, even though it had just been a minute or two since she'd handed him his card, or my card basically, she swapped the cards, is what she did. He had signed the thing and he was out of there, you know, so he didn't, he was gone. And of course, it was a very busy truck stop, and so there's no way you're going to try to catch him, you know. I don't know if he went to some other part of the truck stop, there's no way of knowing, or he, you know, if he was out on his way to his truck or whatever, but that was that. And so what I ended up doing was taking the card back to the waitress and telling her what happened, you know, and so in case he came back, he has his card, or the waitress has his card. But I went ahead just immediately and canceled the Sam's card. You know, because there's an app and you can freeze the account in the Sam's Club app. You've got the credit card management as one of the options as part of the Sam's Club app, and so you can freeze the account. But then I had to go onto the actual website in order to report it as lost or stolen. And as soon as you click on lost or stolen, it immediately says a new card is on its way to you in 5 to 7 days. So since I should be home sometime on the 27th, Sunday, hopefully the card will be there by the before I go back to work. I should be going, if everything works right, I should be going back to work on April the 2nd, the day before my birthday. So, in any case, from now on, I'm, you know, really going to pay attention to the, you know, when a waitress brings a waiter or a waitress brings the card back, I'm really going to be looking the card over immediately, because I can see where that can happen. I've told this story before. One time years ago, I was at a fuel stop. I think it might have been out in California somewhere, but it was kind of this fuel stop, and I had what they did, they required you to, in order to start the pump, they would ask for your driver's license. And I don't remember if I got fuel there or not, but I think I must have. But in any case, there were a couple other drivers were getting fuel, and I don't remember if it was a guy or a gal behind the counter. I just don't remember anymore. But whoever it was behind the counter had given she had swapped the driver's licenses and given this one guy's driver's license to this other driver, and he was already gone. And he, put it in his pocket, put it in his billfold, and he was on his way. And so, and then that other driver came in, and they gave him the wrong license, and he looked at it, and that's not my license. So I don't know what became of that, because I had already gotten my fuel and then I was on my way. Of course I got my right license. So after that, I've always, I make sure that I never let that license out of my sight, just for that reason. So, from now on, I'm going to be really watching because I generally watch that credit card anyway, but, you got to pay attention to that, because that can happen. Now, there was one time, it's been a few years ago, I left my debit card and, I was at home, eating out. I think I'd met my youngest brother and his wife in this Italian restaurant. It's been probably 5-6 years ago. And I'd left my credit card just left it laying on the table, and then I realized it, and then so I came back the next day and got it, and they, of course, they still had it, but it's one of those things you really got to pay attention to. But that can happen, and I'm sure it does happen, where things get swapped. Now, I did notice that today, because with the Sam's MasterCard, with the notifications, I've got it set up so that it sends a notification every time there's a new transaction. Within just a couple of minutes, it'll send a notification on the phone, the charge of however much has been made. With the name of the place, and it's just whatever will fit in the notification. So she had, today this waitress had swapped the thing. So my bill was like $20 and something. She had charged to this other guy's card, and then what ended up getting charged to my card that I subsequently, after the fact, canceled, was his was 14 something. So that will go through, because that happened prior to me canceling my card, it was a little bit afterwards that I canceled the card. So my card, is canceled. Now that other guy is probably going to be in a, probably realizes it by now. He's going to be in a world of hurt if he's trying, if that's some sort of a corporate card, because it said Gray Bar Trucking with his name on it. If he tries to use that for fuel or whatever, he's going to first of all, if he doesn't look at it, it's, you know, he just pulls it out and he thinks that's the card and it's not going to work, or he may look at it and see that it's not his name on there. But it was kind of a gray card. Now, the Sam's MasterCard that I have is sort of a darker gray. It's not black, but it's kind of a dark gray, and so this card was sort of a little bit of a lighter shade of gray. So, stuff like that happens, and you kind of gotta really watch, you know, so what do you do, you know, but other than just really pay attention, which I will be from now on, because I, you know, that Sam's card, I've been, you know, for probably a good part of a year now, if not, you know, I've been using that card, that Sam's MasterCard, pretty much exclusively for everything, you know. Been using it, you know, just instead of cash, you know. I carry probably like $80 or $85 worth of cash just in case. But otherwise, you know, I generally, unless I've got a little tiny purchase, like a dollar or something that I don't feel comfortable, you know, using the credit card for, let's say it's $1.50 or less, you know, then I'll spend a, you know, a little bit of cash on whatever. But like, let's say I buy a drink or something. But generally speaking, if it's more than that, then I just use the card. And so I use it, you know, like to buy groceries if I'm at home, or restaurants, you know, which make up the bulk of everything. And then, you know, let's say I'm at home and I buy gas or whatever, gasoline, I use that card. Use it for everything. But so I, you know, like I say, hopefully the replacement card will be there by the time I get ready to go back to work. But in the meantime, I've got two other cards, you know, that I prefer to use the Sam's Club card, because I get a little kickback from the, you know, the cash back thing from dining and gasoline. And of course, the dining is the biggest portion of that. But in the meantime, I'll use one of the, you know, it's like a Visa card. I'll use this other Visa card that I have. And, you know, and of course, I pay them off at the end of the month. So, but that's just one thing to kind of think about, you know, can happen. Is it, you know, and so many people now are using cards instead of cash. That's very, very common now. I see people using cards instead of cash. And, you know, because it is, let's face it is more convenient. Now, of course, I pay mine off every month, but some people may not. But, you know, and I prefer to use a credit card as opposed to, because there was a period of time where I used my debit card a lot. And, you know, had this happened with a debit card, it would be a bigger problem, because I've got things that are coming out of the debit card. Some of those are based on the Visa portion of the debit card. Some, you know, there's, I probably got 6 or 7 different items. Some of them are just coming out of the checking account portion of the card. But some of them are based on the Visa portion of the debit card. And so if I had to cancel the card, then that would kind of make a mess. And I'd have to, you know, I'd get the new card, and then I'd have to, you know, go through everything and make sure that I hadn't missed anything as far as what was coming out of the card automatically every month. But with this Sam's MasterCard, nothing's coming out of it on a rotating automatic basis. So I'll just get the new card, and it's going to have a different number and a different expiration date, etc. And so I should be back in business. pretty quickly once I get it. So I am, as I say, I'm supposed to make it home on Sunday, the 27th. I believe Sunday's the 27th. Today's the 25th. 26th, 27th. Yep. So I should be home on Sunday, the 27th. And then on the 28th in the afternoon, they're supposed to, Best Buy is supposed to be delivering my 85-inch television. So, in the meantime, I ordered a kind of a large, kind of an elaborate, fairly elaborate television stand via Amazon. I had that sent to a friend's house, and of course got to assemble it. So I'm hoping to be able to get that and get it assembled before Best Buy shows up. Now if they don't, if I don't get it assembled in time, then, you know, basically Best Buy will deliver the television and assemble it, put the base on it, and then just kind of put it in the room where I want it, and then I'm going to have to get one of my younger brothers or a friend to kind of help me move it into position once I get the cabinet assembled. But what I was hoping to do would be to buy a television stand from a local furniture store that would, and then they have them assemble it and then bring it out, or, you know, whatever. But unfortunately, because I wanted one, you know, because I've seen, you know, they have these that have the fake electric fireplace that's in the TV stand, and so you can either run it, and it, you know, these will put out some heat, but primarily, you know, I wouldn't use it that way. I would simply use it for the fake electric fireplace effect. So, and some of those look actually, you know, kind of pretty good. The fake fire displays actually look quite, you know, some of them are pretty realistic. So, but for whatever reason, those aren't available locally. You know, the stores are saying, well, the one store I called, she said, well, we have the bases, but we can't get, you know, it can't get the inserts. And they're available on Amazon. You know, so you can, you know, and I was able to order one through Amazon, and now, so we'll see how, you know, because this is a pretty, you know, it's like a 113-pound box. So hopefully there's nothing broken in it and all the pieces will be there. And so, you know, I have yet to find that out. But when I do arrive home, I'm going to have to assemble it, and then hopefully then they'll deliver the TV on in the afternoon on the 28th, and then, you know, that'll kind of be settled at that point. So, of course, when I was home the last time, they were supposed to deliver it, but that ended up getting scuttled because of the weather. You know, we received some, ice and snow and what have you, and that prevented Best Buy from bringing it from wherever their warehouse is to the store so that it could be delivered. Because of course everybody does the just-in-time thing now, and weather is one of those things that can interfere with just-in-time. Speaking of which, you know, of course, everything is just in time. And I've seen a couple of articles now, or headlines and articles that were talking about possible diesel shortages. Now, I don't know if you know, because sometimes you see these articles, and you know, like several months ago, they were talking about, I saw a few articles about potential rubber shortages, tire shortages. And of course, I don't think that never materialized, but they were, there were articles talking about it. Now, as far as diesel shortages, if the diesel runs out, we're in big trouble. You know, because not only am I in big trouble because there's no more, because my job requires diesel, but everyone is in trouble because you may not think that you live on diesel or you rely on diesel, but in a very real sense, we all are living on, the only reason we're alive is because there's diesel being burned. Just think about that. How do you think all the stuff comes to you? You know, it doesn't come by magic. It's coming because of diesel is bringing it to you. Because it's brought by a truck, and of course all the trucks, most of the trucks are running on diesel, and so therefore if you cut the diesel off, you're in big trouble, because then nothing is going to be delivered. Everything is just in time, so things will quickly run out. If you really cut the diesel off, everything would come to a halt. Now, I don't, because I know a lot of people now are kind of panicking, and they're storing their foods, and they're buying a lot of canned goods and this and that. And I know that's kind of going on because I kind of hear it anecdotally from people, friends, what have you. And I can understand that because everyone is becoming nervous with the idiotic things that are sort of transpiring in the world here lately. I can understand that, but, so that's one thing, to try to store up a little bit of food. But, I don't think that things are probably, really believe, especially in the U.S., unless there's some sort of a war or something that's going on our land, I don't think that things are going to just completely run out. You might have some shortages here or there, but I think the more likely scenario is the price is going to go up, because the price going up helps regulate the market. Because if you try to, like back in the days of Richard Nixon, they tried the wage and price freeze because they thought we had bad inflation. It was like 3% inflation. Oh, this is terrible. So they had the wage and price freeze, and of course that created genuine shortages, because you can't do that. You've got to let the prices float, and sometimes the prices will go up, but that ends up controlling you have this thing, the law of supply and demand, and it really does work. One way of thinking about it is, let's say you've got, you're in California or Oregon or someplace that's got coastal, or, along the east coast of the country, you've got coastal beachfront property, okay? How do you divide that out? What's the most fair way of figuring out who's going to live along the beach and have the beachfront property? Are you going to just arbitrarily, have some sort of lottery system? No. What you do is it's determined by the price. Are you willing to pay the extra price to live right on the beach? And if you are, and have at it. But most people, the majority of people, won't pay the premium so that they can live on right next to the beach, which is probably a dangerous place to live anyway, because of the potential weather and what have you, or a tsunami or whatever, which could come along. Or if you're on the East Coast, certainly hurricanes. That's a very real threat. But, the most fair way of doing it is to do it with price. So if the demand goes up, the price goes up. So that's probably what's going to happen, is the price is going to increase, and so you're not going to end up with, completely running out, although that might happen, but rather you're just going to see price increases. Now, there were so-called gas shortages back in 1970, in the 70s at some point. We had the gas shortages, and people were, people were waiting in line for gas at the gas pumps, and you'd have odd, even days of when you could buy gas, depending on your license plate, if it was odd or even. And I kind of vaguely remember that, but I don't remember them talking about diesel being short. It was just gasoline. Now, why that would be, I don't know. But if the diesel ever does get shut off, we're in a big world of hurt, and I don't think a lot of people realize that. I've talked about this before, the only reason we're alive is because the trucks are going up and down the road. And that means the diesel is being refined, the oil's being pumped out of the ground, wherever it's coming from. We exist because of oil. Sorry to burst the bubble, but we exist because of oil. And that's the only reason that we exist. And so you take that oil away, and hence no more diesel, and nothing gets delivered, people start to starve. It's that simple. So I don't know. But I think the more likely thing is, there may be certain shortages of this and shortages of that, and you can't get this and you can't get that, or you might have more trouble getting this or that. But I think the more likely scenario for most things is the price is going to go up, and then the price goes up, and then that people determine, do I really need this or not? Now, of course, the price of diesel going up makes the price of everything go up, because stuff has to be delivered. And that's just the fact of modern life. Stuff is being delivered to you, to your local store. That's why the grocery store has groceries. That's why the Walmart store's got the stuff. Or any store that you name, it's diesel brought it. And that's just a fact. So, that's something to kind of keep in mind. It's kind of in the back of my mind at this point. Like I say, at some point, a few months ago, I did see a thing, they were talking about potential tire shortages. That never materialized, but hopefully this article that I saw, and then another one was a headline that was probably based on that article. I think it was a Zero Hedge article. It was a Zero Hedge website that was talking about it. That's probably what it was based on. But that's something to keep your eye on. like I say, because if that actually happens and, you know, you're at, to the point where the diesel runs out, modern society is in a big world of hurt. So I have now stopped at the our Kansas City terminal, and I'm going to take my break here. So the load I have, it has the first drop is in Springfield, Missouri, and then the second one, it should be a drop and hook in Oklahoma City. And so, you know, we'll see how it goes. When they initially sent the load, or, you know, the pre-planned load, when I was still on the prior load, it was the other way around. It was supposed to have a drop in Oklahoma City and then drop and hook in Springfield, Missouri. And for, somehow it ended up becoming reversed. I don't know if it, maybe the shipper did it, or maybe some reason they did that, but so we'll see how that goes. So in the meantime, you know, the thing with the credit card, that, you know, because you hear me talk about being, remaining calm and not resent, and you've heard me talk about those kind of things for years, but you know, it's one thing to talk, you know, to talk that way, but what is my, you know, I like to look at my actual behavior. And it's interesting because, you know, and you don't know what your actual behavior is until you're in the situation, you know. And so, you know, that, you know, those situations end up kind of functioning as real world tests. So what ended up happening, you know, kind of looking back on that, I did not get upset in the least. You know, there was no resentment. I didn't get mad at the waitress and try to chew her out or anything like that. Didn't have any kind of resentment or angry reaction at all. I simply told her what happened, and you know, and then I proceeded to cancel my card, you know. So, but as I say, you never really know what your reaction is going to be until you're present, you know, you're in a situation like that, you know. And it could be anything, but I can, you know, there are plenty of people that if that happened to them, they would blow their stack, and they'd probably chew the waitress out or try to get her fired or God knows what, you know. And what does that accomplish? Nothing. The guy's gone, the cards were swapped, and so it accomplishes nothing. But once in a while, one of these kind of things happens, and it sort of serves as a real world test. Do I really not have the resentment reaction that I would have once had? And, you know, I didn't. There's basically little to no emotional reaction at all, which is rather interesting. But and that's actually a very good place to be in, especially with the way the world is going, and you know, they've got sort of bats in the belfry. You know, I think people are deliberately, whoever's pulling Biden's puppet strings are knowingly, deliberately trying to destroy the country. You know, I think that's pretty obvious. You know, you can say that, well, that's cynical, or maybe these people have good intentions or whatever. I don't think so. I think it's deliberate, and I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to end up becoming upset, and it doesn't, you know, it's counterproductive. It doesn't do you a bit of good to get upset. Really doesn't, because it just makes you into a puppet. You become upset, resentment style upset. You simply end up a marionette of whatever made you upset. Or someone, you know, or you know, you have resentment. You have resentment, and whether you're aware of it or not, someone else can come along and pull the appropriate strings. You know, and the thing is, you think it's your idea, and it's not. You know, there's tons. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I've got friends that they believe in the vaccine or whatever. I've got more than one friend that kind of thinks that way, and they say, "Well, oh, believe the science and what have you." Well, you know, that idea has been put into their head. Now they may think it's their idea. They may think that, I've adopted this because it's a rational idea. But at the end of the day, the idea was put into their head. There's no idea that we can have that's an original idea. Most of the ideas, let's face it, it's kind of a painful realization, but most of the ideas that we have, they came from somewhere else. And we simply adopted them, and they're not our ideas. We're not thinking for ourselves. And it's a good thing to realize that, you know, without trying to make excuses or rationalizations. You need to realize that we do not have original ideas. And then if you can realize that we don't have original ideas, maybe at that point, then you can begin to examine the ideas, some of the ideas you have that are, you know, they're obviously rational and reasonable. But are they really your ideas? You know, have you made them your own? You know, have you really adopted them? Or did you just kind of end up taking them on some sort of a faith? Because, you know, for whatever reason. You know, you ended up kind of going along with the suggestion. So, you know, but we're really in kind of these are really sort of perilous times. But I think the biggest danger is to sort of end up doing something or sort of acting. You know, and you may think it's rational, but sort of making an action or a reaction. Out of resentment. And it's easy to fool yourself into thinking that you're not doing it because of resentment. And you can easily end up making the wrong move. You know, the vaccine thing, for example, you know, now some people are going to probably say, oh, fake news, fake news. I saw an article yesterday, and there's this female doctor that is claiming that she's ran into some patients that were triple jabbed that now have AIDS. And, you know, one of the spike, you know, part of that spike protein this article is talking about comes from the AIDS, you know, the portion of the AIDS virus. Is that true? I don't know. This doctor, this female doctor, seemed reasonable and seemed to think so. And I, you know, kind of wondered that myself prior to this, because there were people that were saying that this was a combination of several different viruses, including the AIDS virus. There's plenty of evidence that the bad outcomes from the jabs have been deliberately suppressed for whatever reason. And so, you know, I've doubted the whole thing all along, especially because they're pressure. Oh, you have to do it. Well, hell, I do. I'm not going to do it. You know, there's another doctor that says that, I don't know what the time frame was, that you know, you're going to start seeing mass numbers of people start to end up dying from the jab. Is that going to happen? Don't know. Hope it doesn't. Hope it doesn't. But just because someone says that you should do something, you know, and they may try to appeal to you and make you think it's scientific or rational, doesn't mean that you should just automatically do it. Especially if someone's telling you you have to do it. You don't have to do anything. So, the best thing to do is to just, you know, the more the environment around you is trying to agitate you, the best thing to do is to become that much more calm. Just become that much more calm, that much more reasonable, and never act out of pressure. You know, wait until the pressure's gone, and then you know what the right thing to do is. But never act out of pressure. If someone's really trying to pressure you into making a decision, that's the time to just, you know, remain calm and never take an action out of pressure, because it's likely to be the wrong thing. Or maybe it might be the right thing, but then you did it for the wrong reason. That happens too. So, but in any case, once in a while, like I say, one of these things comes along, like, you know, she swapped the credit cards. And, you know, there was a period of time in my life where I would have just gone ballistic and, and it really become obsessed with the whole thing. And in this case, it was just, I saw what happened, and, you know, well, the solution is to give her the other guy's card and, not try to figure out where the other guy was, but just cancel the card, and then they'll send me a new one, and no harm, no foul. Or at least, as little as possible. So, you know, and really is nothing, you know, because I was able to just freeze the thing and cancel the card, and I've got two other cards that I can use, plus cash, so it's no big, and plus a debit card, so no big deal. You know, four other ways of paying for things without that, you know, so it's not that big of a thing. nothing, you know, but I, you know, don't necessarily like when something like that happens, but at the same time, it does provide me with the opportunity, the real world opportunity to sort of assess after the fact, what was my reaction? Did I resent? And thankfully I didn't. So anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off and then see if I can get it transferred to the file, transferred to the phone, so that I can go ahead and create a podcast out of it. So hope everyone has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.